Hello and welcome to another episode of Andrew's Amazing Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, James Santana. Always enjoyed by my illustrious psychic, Hunter Van Lira.
I couldn't do anything. I was going to say I'm doing sign language, but that doesn't hit with
the cameras. You were saying something very cancelable. That's why. Like, I was like, he's going to see himself.
I was just going to do some hands, and I realized no cameras. So I was like, this doesn't do anything if I sit here and do something with, like, I spell.
It means nothing. I agree with you.
Oh, anyway. Yeah. Hunter.
Yeah, there you go. We were brought to you by Andrew's Mate. Yeah, that's nice. Cute. We are brought to you by Andrew's Amazing Comics, Sound Safe in New York. Let's start the show for some news, like always, guys. We got nothing crazy, but really fun stuff. We have comic book news opening up. We have Jason Aaron to take over TMNT after issue 150, which is the final issue of Sophie Campbell's run. Also, the end of this current era of Turtles, which has been running from 1 to 150 since IDW took it over. The restart will restart with a new number one, but it's not a reboot. They did say it will continue on exactly where Sophie leaves off in the story. Starting with issues 1 through 4, highlighting individual turtles and artists with Joelle Jones, Raphael Albuquerque, Cliff Chang, and Chris Burnham as your four artists. Raphael.
Yeah, I put them in order. It's going to be Raphael, Michelangelo, Leonardo, Donatello with those artists we just named.
And Raphael Albuquerque taking over art for the whole second arc going forward.
So either with that, either it's going to be him going forward in general, or it's going to be he'll do the second arc, Joella will come in for the third. So then, because I feel like the Turtles, if you can nail one artist for Turtles, that's awesome. But if you're looking for big budget, not big budget people, but like big names like Albuquerque, Jones, Chang, Burnham, it's good to have them on a cycle where each one of them does an arc. So then they have time to work on the arc, you know, while they're also doing 16 other books each.
Exactly. I think that's
because I texted my dad and I was like, oh, here are the artists for the first four issues. And he's like, ooh, Joella Jones on permanently would be awesome. And I'm like, yeah, but she's busy as heck.
All the time.
She's always doing stuff.
And that's, you know,
so it'd be tough to nail them down. The only one that I would say would be easiest to nail down is Burnham. That's because they work at IDW.
And honestly, they have, Turtles has always had a rotating artist set. Like, it's always been by arc.
Well, no, I mean, there's a few arcs that are, like, in a row that are the same artist. But, yeah, they do have a few change-ups in the IDW run, at least from the, was it the 2012 reboot?
Yeah, from the start, yeah.
Dude, that's 12, that's 12 years now?
It's more than 150 issues, because if you count all the actual books that are part of their universe, it's more than.
Oh, yeah, TMNT is 150, but TMNT Universe had 5 volumes. Each character had their own micro-series. Rocksteady and Bebop had 2 5-issue books. Shredder had some books. Dimension X, there's just so much. So there's like probably 300 issues they're sitting on.
That's why I'm like, all right, cool. You know what? It's crazy that Jason Aaron.
And that doesn't count crossovers for Turtles.
I'm excited that Jason Aaron, to be honest.
Oh, dude, getting the legendary Thor writer to write a Turtles, he's going to be on there for 400 issues.
He's never going to stop.
I wouldn't. If IDW was like, Hunter, you get Turtles, I'd be like, hey, I'd be like Tom, but closing the door.
I really do think that they'll figure out, like, he's gonna do stuff, like, insane. Like, he might even bring back the basics.
Well, I mean, it's hard to think what he's going to do for the Turtles since, you know, he's never written them before, if that makes sense. He's written superheroes before, so you kind of always know where he's going to go. But the Turtles are such their own beast because even though they do unbelievable things like traveling between dimensions and planets and they're obviously giant mutants, like I feel like Ninja Turtle stories are always really grounded because they're just New York boys, bacon, egg, and cheese. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do, if he's going to do a more grounded storytelling approach like he used to do with Ghost Rider and Wolverine, or is he going to go bombastic with the like how he does with Thor or Avengers.
Honestly, we won't see until way later on. Like, we won't really know.
Well, yeah, I think the first issue's coming out in not August, July.
We'll see it during we'll see it in May during Free Comic Book Day. We'll see the first bits of it.
Oh yeah, they have the teaser, right?
Yeah, it's going to be that.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
So I'm excited. I'm really excited about that.
Oh, dude, same. Like, I haven't read any of the Sophie Campbell stuff. I've just been behind. But you say it's good, and Now we got Jason Aaron. It's like the good never stops.
For no, Turtles. It hasn't. I think it's great, honestly.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to get back into it. I got to catch up. I still got to get like two volumes of the IDW stuff before Sophie, and then I got to hop onto the Sophie Campbell okay. stuff. You said that's only five or six?
Seven. It's, I think it's going to end at eight.
Seven. Oh, man. That's so much. I really, man, I have not been reading.
Turtles in 20, like the main Turtles book was 25. Actually, you know what? I'll tell you right now. I have my phone in my hand that had.
Oh, yeah. I know the main Turtles book went on for a bit before they renumbered it to Reborn and did the new yeah. volumes. But I thought, like, when you think about Sophie Campbell's run, you're like, oh, man, that was recently. Nah, dude, eight volumes?
Yeah.
It's at least 2.5 years.
Yeah, the main book.
And that doesn't count COVID
time. No, the main book ended, the main book when it was still, oh, my God, what the fuck's his name?
Eastman and whoever.
And because Campbell helped him do that, the back end of that book, which is that ran for 23 mm-hmm. volumes. And then the TMNT volume two, technically, Reborn, yeah, ran so far. I only have five of them. And I know wow. there's another six and seven coming well, out. I mean, and then eight's going to be Armageddon again.
50 issues is essentially what Sophie Campbell did solo. Because the last stuff that Eastman was working on was 100 with the like big giant.
Yeah, she did 101. She did 101 through 150.
To 150. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Plus whatever spinoffs that launched that they may have.
Yeah,
wrote. I think they may have wrote the Jenica.
Yeah, series. It's the Jenica Min series. It's the Alliance, TMNT Alliance games, which is part of Armageddon War. All this other stuff.
Yeah, some of the one-shots yeah. and stuff. Yeah.
So I'm excited.
All right, man. I'm excited to see what Jason Aaron's got. I am excited to go read Reborn finally now that it's going to be, like, encapsulated. Maybe they'll do an omnibus so I could just, like how Saga did, like, the book one. Just give me, like, the Sophie Campbell stuff.
Yeah, they might just do.
So then I don't got to buy individual trades. I can just chunk it.
They might do. It just will be probably.
That'd be cool. It's only 50 issues, so it's pretty doable. It's not like it's 100 they're trying to show.
No, it might be 100 because you count all the tie-ins.
It's not going to be 100, no. But it's only the tie-ins that they would, like whatever ties into Reborn, which is not a lot as what was before the
100. Oh, yeah, no. It would just be.
Yeah, before the 100, it was like four TMNT books a month came out. Now I think it's one or two.
Yeah.
Because they do the minis and the one-shots.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I think Reborn might encapsulate Secret History of the Foot. I think that one was a recent one.
No, Secret History hasn't come out yet. Okay. Secret History of the Foot has not come out yet. That was announced at Comic-Con. It's coming out later on this year. That's going to tie to...
Okay, so yeah, that'll tie into whatever the final event will be. All right, rock and roll. Sweet, yes. I'm excited for more TMNT. Give me more. Jason Aaron, let's go.
Yeah, and Jason Aaron, man. Like, I can only imagine what he's going to do.
Yeah, man.
So, continuing with comic book news, we have Marvel announcing the red band version of the upcoming Vampire Vet Blood Hunt. Labeled with a parental advisory and polybag, they will contain extra additional pages and more graphic art too exclusive for regular edition. It means they just want to do a black label version.
Dude, I'm so hyped for that.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, they're testing the water for more adult style, at least with violence. In the books, and I think this is a good way to do it, especially because it's vampires.
I don't
blood.
Think it's
what do you not, mean? Vampires and blood, it's a great way
it's
to
not,
do it.
It's not a test. So, I mean, they did that in Deadpool, and they've been doing it in Deadpool and Punisher. The big thing is,
yeah, this is like a whole event.
It's a way to sell extra copies. It's a way for
and that means they're gonna have two collections. They'll have the regular collection, and then they'll have the red band collection, which
I will also get the red band and the red band one in trade.
Give me the extra bloody spooky vampire. Yeah. Stuff. Heck yeah. More art. Let's go. More pages.
Yeah, it's more pages.
Duh.
Which will probably include like bigger fight scenes. That
I can only imagine the more pages. Yeah, it'll be more action. Like in between like three scenes, if there's blade fighting vampires, maybe in between those three pages, they'll have one or two extra pages. That's just more killing. More cool shots. Because they can't really add story into it. You can't miss the story. It would just be quips or like Spider-Man getting saved by Blade and there's like a funny one-liner that Spider-Man says for saving.
Yeah,
something like
I mean, the amount of violence.
You can't lose.
No, exactly. Story. They won't do that. That'd be stupid for them to do that. I understand initial pages if there's not new content. But the problem is like you have to make sure the new content's worth it. You know what I mean? And that's the way you make it where it's just more action and more violence, and that's how you make it the Red Band one, and you'll have people that want to buy both copies because polybag, so there are people that don't want to open it. And then there are people that are going to get it because they want to see what the extra violence, quote-unquote, is. Because at the end of the day, it's not going to be anything gratuitous. It's not like Garth Ennis's, you know, it's not like The Boys, you know.
No, it'll probably just be like some extra head chop-ins, extra limb chop-ins. It probably won't be anything like nude chop-ins, you know what I mean? Nobody's going to be chopping any boobies off.
You know, but it's a cool thing that they're doing it. I do think it's definitely just a play to get you to buy more books because it's easier to get people to buy more books. Especially when it comes to like, oh, hey, this one's polybagged and this one's not. But for them to do for the entire series is crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's only, what, five or six issues, maybe seven? It's an event, but it's like a mini event. It's going to take place after whatever the second volume of Blade is. It's going to be Blood Hunt, and then it's going to be the rest. So it's not like they're doing it on, like, Amazing Spider-Man. So it's like, oh, man, you're missing out on this Spider-Man stuff. They're doing it on a vampire event. So, I mean,
It's going to be fun.
I think it's dope.
And it should be good. It's just, like, it's Blade, so, like...
Dude, I've been on a Blade hype train. I think the world is on a Blade hype train. We got the movie that's slowly coming out, and then they announced that new video game, and now these last few series with Blade have been pretty good.
Bloodline was okay.
Bloodline was good for the audience that was picking it up. You know what I mean? Like, it's not for everybody, but people loved it. I was reading a lot of love on that one. I still got to check it out. And then... the new Blade stuff I want to say Rodney Barnes, but I'm probably wrong. I just know that he writes all the vampire stuff because he did Killadelphia and Dracula, motherfucker. But I think they're up to like 12 issues, or are they solicited 12 or something like that. And it's just the art looks good. I've seen some of the interior pages while I'm at the store. Like, it looks crazy good. So I'm excited to see what we got cooking for Blade, because Blade... I was looking over on Marvel Unlimited, and there's not a lot of Blade stuff besides him being in, like, miniseries like Midnight Suns, or him popping up as guest cameos, or as, like, a series regular on a book like Avengers. He hasn't had, like, a proper solo book for so long, and the other main book he was on was Strike Force from Tinney right after War of the Realms, and that book only lasted 12 issues, and that book, or maybe 10... But that book was supposed to be nuts because it was the – we've talked about it. It's the X-Force of the Avengers.
They should really do the book all the time. Just,
yeah.
Yeah, but like I said, the biggest problem with Blade is that, like, because he is kind of just a, like, niche character because he is a vampire hunter.
Oh, it's Brian Edward Hill, my bad.
He's a niche character. You know, he's – you know, unless you – and you really – to make him – bigger, you had to have him interact with other characters, you know.
Oh yeah, issue 7 is out on shelves now, I believe, and he's fighting Hulk. Like, he's finally doing stuff where he's not just doing vampire shit. He's like actually interacting with people. He hasn't done that since the 2006 series, and that was like his last solo.
Which is good. Again, like, he was in Doctor Strange in one of his issues.
Yeah, he pops.
So I'm like, yeah, that's kind of what we want. Like, make your characters feel like they're involved in stuff, you know, it's the best way to do it. You know, you have to. Like, if you kind of just, like, let them sit there and do nothing and don't grow with the universe, and then you're like, oh, well, I don't know why it's not selling. Like, because people aren't going to try the character. They're more willing to try him if they were, like, he was in Avengers. He was in Aaron's Avengers.
Yeah, but Aaron, he joined after, like, the second arc.
And he was in there through the entire thing, pretty much.
Yeah, he started with the Vampire War, and then he continued it.
Yeah, and he was awesome in it, you know. But that's how you get people to like him and know him, is by going into that stuff and going, hey, these are the characters, get to know them. If you want more, here's a series. You know, was it bad that Bloodline came out before that book? Yes.
Yeah, but it's enforcing kind of what's going on with the current series. Not that she's in it but
she's not in it. The next time you see Bloodline is in Miles, when it's Blade and Miles. It's Blade and her teaming up with Miles to fight a vampire for two arcs, and Miles with moves.
I think during Blood Hunt, she'll pop up again, and then I think they'll join. I think she'll join the main book, or they'll do like a dual book.
Yeah, we'll see.
Like Blade and Daughter LLC or some shit. We'll see, right? Where it's a family. They can even have it be like it runs in the family. Like it's a fucking vampire hunting, like Fast and the Furious style. Oh, dude, this sounds awesome. Vampire hunting, Fast and the Furious
family. You made that book up in your head. Because she...
I don't know. Hey, Brian Edward Hill, if you're listening, that was for free.
She was in the Miles book with them. It was cool. But like, just have Blade do it.
Just have Blade do it. Well, you got to make Blade spicy. They're like, what if he had a daughter? Ooh. Like,
yeah. So. It's like, oh, he has a daughter that he just didn't give a rat's ass about. And like, I mean, they make it a point where like he's a delinquent father, which I kind of hate because it leans to the stereotype that black characters, like especially black father characters, have nothing to do with their kids. And I'm like, you literally lean into the stereotype that you were trying to avoid by making her a strong female character, and she has a absentee father. Awesome. Who happens to be black. Great.
Thanks, we don't talk about that. Hey, man. Got to represent everybody.
Right? Yeah, right?
Yeah, even we got to represent the bad ones sometimes.
It's like, you could have done this way better.
I mean, dude, I was reading up on Speedball just for funsies, and I forgot that he was the catalyst for Civil War, and I never read the Penance book itself or the Civil War Front Lines. I was just reading the main event. So I finally got around to reading those, and... Oh man.
Yeah, that
Speedball is no joke, and he gets like, oh man, there's a lot of like storytelling for bad people in that Front Lines and in the Penance book, because it's all him dealing with the other criminals that he's around. It's all it's the Mark Millar though. But it's still crazy where it's like, man, he's like a definitive shithead, and we're getting a story with him for somewhat path of redemption, but then he's still like a shithead.
Yeah, no.
But then he tries to turn it around when he becomes a teacher, which is fine. But, you know, Avengers Academy, another.
I mean, that's how you kind of, like, redeem characters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like I said, we'll see with this Blade book. I'm really excited to see what they do with this more adult Blade stuff. Especially for a book like Blood Hunt. I mean, the only way you do it is you release the one cop, you release both of them, and then in trade you have the option to get both. It would suck not to have both in trade option.
Yeah, because it would. Yeah, because it would definitely suck if like and there's only like maybe it's only the bloody one, so it's like, oh, now my kid can't read it. But you know, or it's the non red band one. It's only the regular one, and then it's like, oh well, come on.
I want the red band one. Read. Like you offered it,
like. Put a big label on it, or even put it in a poly bag. I know that's stupid for a graphic novel, but you know.
Well, the whole thing is like,
do what you gotta do.
Thing is like they could put it out. Like the problem is like putting it out and then going.
Just put a big sticker on it. It goes not.
Well, putting it out and going, hey, we're doing it only in singles would be stupid, because people like me that do both the singles and the collected editions, like I want the collected edition so I can go back and reread it. You know, without having to dig through a long box to go get it.
The digging is why I stopped doing floppies, man. Like, other than space, it's the digging. I would, like, want to go back and reread something, and I didn't have Marvel Unlimited at the time, or it wasn't, like, as good as it is to use now. Like heads-up display-wise, HUD-wise. And, man.
Yeah.
Oh, did you cut out? Okay.
No, I'm good. That's the whole thing. Like, it really is that. It really is. Like, I want to read it and, you know, pull out the trade and go, oh, cool, I want to read this. And I want to read if I choose to read the Red Band one, I want to read the Red Band one. I'm going to buy it. You know? If you give me the option, I'll take the option. Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
We will move on to... Oh, She-Hulk. Oh, no, actually, you know what? We'll do Bad Batch. Then we'll do the other one. Bad Batch Season 3, final trailer dropped. It is premiering February 21st. It also introduced to the return of Ventress. Asajj Ventress is
awesome. Yeah, Asajj Ventress is back. So is Wolf. Yeah. But they said, I forget where exactly Dark Disciple takes place in the timeline, but in the Dark Disciple book, Ventress dies. So, and that's a canon novel. While sure, they can decanonize it, totally fine. Or just say, like, I lived, bitch. They could do that. Ventress is a very I lived bitch kind of character, so I'm into that. But it would be kind of a shame if they did something that would, like, you know, throw off the canonicity of it. But they did say, one of the executive producers said that they do know about the time period they're in using Ventress. They, you know, talked to everybody that they, you know, needed to get the okay from. They said they're going to, you know, Dark Disciples, they are aware of it. And it seems like they're going to, like, do, like, a half adaptation of the story and then maybe continue it elsewhere. But we'll have to see. I would love, like, a animated Dark Disciples movie.
I mean, that'd be cool.
It's like, we haven't had an animated Star Wars movie since 2008. I would love another one. Like, now I'm not talking Lego. I'm not talking TV show. I'm talking about animated
movie. Yeah, no, I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. It would be very cool to see. And because you could easily, I mean, you could easily just do a Tales of the Jedi episode.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you got to watch Bad Batch first, but then you could totally watch this and it's fine. Like, I'll take a two episode arc of that, where it's the one Bad Batch and the Tales, or two episodes in Tales, however they want to restructure Tales of the Jedi. But I would just also like a movie or a mini series, like an 8-episode mini series. You know, just give me more animated Star Wars content, because we don't have a new animated series out besides Young Jedi Adventures once Bad Batch is over. The final season is this third season, and it's going to be done by May 1st. That's when the last episode
is. Yes, because the episode just came out.
Yeah, but then May 4th is Star Wars Day, so they'll probably announce something after that, whether it's Rebels Season 5 for real, Ahsoka Season 2 animated for some reason, you know what I mean? Just they're going to announce something. They always do at Star Wars Day, so I'm just excited to see what it is they are announcing, especially because you're ending your Star Wars show right before it. I'm wondering if they're going to be like, Bad Batch 2, you know what I mean? Like, more of it, or, you know, just something like a Captain Rex solo book, a solo show that takes place in between Bad Batch and Rebels when he's, like, old. Just something. I need more of the Clone Wars stuff.
So we'll see. You know, we'll get there.
I mean, we'll probably get a... They did say they're interested in doing a Tales of the Jedi Season 2, so we'll probably get something from that.
Yeah, well, we'll see what, you know, we'll see what also what's coming out with that, because we haven't seen, like, really post stuff. You know, we're finally getting to the point where, like, they're ending a lot of their stuff, which is, like, Ahsoka 2, you know, was announced. You know, Bad Batch is ending. You know, is everything going to be announced for this May, you know, May 4th stuff for the bigger future? You know, the comic book stuff is ending. You know, they just ended Bounty Hunters, you know.
Yeah, Bounty Hunters is ending. Afra only has another 3 issues, I believe. And then Darth Vader is looking like it's wrapping up, at least according to the last 2 issues or so. It just seems like it's coming to a natural conclusion before he's set up to be picking Luke up in Andor, you know? So I'm definitely excited to see what they're going to do. But, I mean, now I'm just tangentially talking about Star Wars comics. I think we talked about it somewhat recently, but I'll do a double take just in case. They are ending, like you said, the book soon. And they could do in between, you know, episode 6 in Mandalorian, there's a decent enough time gap in between that to do more comics. You could also continue past it. They've done that before. Focus on Luke.
Yeah.
You know, Luke shows up in Mando season 2. What was he doing? But a lot of the newer comics that are coming out are tied, like the minis, are tied to the prequel era stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if we start getting comic books, because let's say Disney doesn't want Marvel to go past that, because that's what the TV shows are doing right now. And besides adapting the shows into the comic book forms, maybe they don't want to touch anything right this second until Filoni finishes his movie, until the Mando and Grogu movie comes out, that kind of stuff. So maybe we go back and we tell a new ongoing that takes place in between episode 1 and 2, or 2 and 3. That'd be very cool. I mean, I know we had the whole Clone Wars show to cover between 2 and 3, but, you know, Dark Horse released 30 plus issues of a book called Star Wars Republic, which was the Clone Wars basically, and like Dirge showed up and they had a bunch of stuff going on in it, so they could easily kind of like restructure those how they did with the Marvel stuff for the OT trilogy. So Star Wars, where are we going? What are we doing?
And it is a bigger rumor that this is like they're gonna go back, and again, not to be tangential, but they look, the rumor is that they're gonna go backwards and fill in that gap period during the prequels, between the prequels.
No, because there's still a lot to cover in between episode 3 and 4 still. Like, yeah, we have a few movies and a few shows, but it's still 18 years. Exactly. And, you know, especially in comic book form, there haven't been a lot of comic books in those 18 years. So you could easily throw in, like, I mean, I don't even know who you'd use. It'd have to be new characters if you're not adapting stuff. Because, like, all the Jedis are dead. We know what Obi-Wan Kenobi's doing. I'm excited to see if they do between 3 and 4 again, what they would do besides Vader, which they did with Charles Soule, where it was 125 issues, and it covered from after all the way to building Fortress Vader. I'm moving far. So,
what else?
A lot of stuff you can still do with the good guys.
Yeah, and we'll see.
Or finally launch that Inquisitors animated show they've been talking about forever.
If only.
Going back to the TV shows. I'm bringing it back. They've been talking about an Inquisitor show and a Darth Maul animated show, so we could easily get one of those.
Yes. Well, we're on the subject for TV shows. We have really cool news. Finally, the Invincibles Season 2, Part 2 will drop March 14th.
Ah, that was the other thing I was looking for.
I found it.
good.
That's going to finish up, thank God.
Yeah, it's the last 4 episodes.
Which is fine. Sure. I'm excited. I will probably rewatch everything before that to catch up, like the 4 episodes to catch up before that. That's fine. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally.
They were good episodes, too.
And the Adam Eve movie, that's fine. And then we'll get ready for, and then we'll be able to actually do a whole breakdown for this season.
Season 2 of Invincible.
And finally, for our TV show stuff, we have She-Hulk. Season 2 may not be happening due to budget. For example, we did, Hunter gave a reference in the notes, so we have, like, numbers to play with, which is She-Hulk season one, cost $200 million to make. While the entire movie of the new Wonka film that just came out was $125 million. The difference is that...
Yeah, and I know those are different beasts, but just to throw you a comparison, that's a big budget, like blockbuster. It made, I think today it was announced that it made over $500 million.
That's what I was about to say.
So it almost tripled its budget. The problem
is, like, so... And this is going to get into my Echo tangent for later, but...
We'll break that down.
But, for example... $125 million movie making $500 million is amazing, you know, for the studio, But a show that spends $200 million, you're not making $200 million in Disney Plus subscriptions to justify it.
No, and if you did, you didn't.
You know.
Yeah, because everybody sees She-Hulk as a flop.
Yeah, because it is. It commercially is a flop. It has nothing to do with ratings or how good people think.
And the budget wasn't even that high until the reshoots. They did a lot of reshoots and a lot of CGI fixes that increased the budget almost double. So it was only supposed to be like around 100, maybe a little bit more, like maybe 125. Well, again, but then they had to reshoot.
It's going to be something that I bring up during the Echo show. It's one of those, like, when you don't want your character to be there, but you're selling it based on your character. Your character is a giant green lady. Make her giant and green. Yeah. You know, if a quarter of your show or 3/4 of your show is her not big and green, then just make it a movie.
Well, yeah, that was the original show. The original show was supposed to be she doesn't turn into She-Hulk until episode 8 of 9. And people were like, whoa.
It's like, you can't do it.
So that's, again, probably why the budget increased, because they had to allocate the budget. Like, oh, it was supposed to be this when we greenlit it, and then we saw it and we were like, oh, not maybe they didn't film that much, but they saw like the storyboards and the scripts, and they were like, she's She-Hulk, not, you know, lawyer.
Yeah, let's
beef her up and then put her in a suit.
Yeah.
I mean, I would watch a Jen Walters show, but you know, She-Hulk's a little bit more enticing because she punches stuff pretty cool.
It's because you're selling it on She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you don't sell it on She-Hulk, then what's the point?
Yeah, then what do you do?
You know, so is it in doubt? Yes, because there's also a lot of people that weren't thrilled with the show to begin with. Like, you gave more people outs than ins for it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a thing that you have to, like, deal with as a company, and you leaned into the comedy, you leaned into all this other stuff, and you kind of went nowhere. You know, so yeah, the Daredevil stuff will probably be referenced in Daredevil Born Again, sure. Mm-hmm. You know, but like, for fans of the comics, the stuff with Hulk and Scar at the end was a fucking joke. And I get it was a joke.
Oh, that was something.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a slap in the face to fans.
Mm. Well, I mean, that's the Hulk's rights thing. I mean, why do it? But that's a whole different
thing. Yeah, it had nothing to do with the rights thing. It was just some being a-holes. They were like, let's make it funny. I'm like, yeah, it's not, you know, not. I get you're doing a comedy series, but that was not the story to do so. It was bad. You know, on the show, and I've said this on the show a million times, about the Masterverse card game. Someone has it already. The box. Damn. And I'm like, I'm trying to promote it as much as possible so they can send this for me for free so I can try it. Yes, I am. But yeah. So like I said, like that's the thing with She-Hulk. And especially like the scar stuff. Like, sorry, retarded. The problem with the over ballooned budget is one, and we've talked about this on other episodes. You have one source that you're pulling the budget from, which is the same source that your movies are made from. The problem is, not everything needs to be this mega blockbuster throw budget at a thing. And we'll talk about it when we get to Echo in a second or two. But like, you could have done so much better stuff with She-Hulk and you didn't. So, but on a way better note, we can get to our topic, which is awesome, which is, it's not awesome. It's,
I mean, I like it. Like, I know I like everything, but I mean, like, even quality wise, I like it.
I mean, it's not bad quality. So we're talking about Echo. Echo dropped a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, but it dropped all at once on Disney Plus. It's only a 5-episode series on Disney Plus under the new Marvel Spotlight line, which is supposed to be their more mature content. During the same period of time, Disney Plus also made all the Netflix stuff canon, which we talked about last week, which in that timeline, you can see if you watch it through Disney Plus, not on Hulu, but if you watch it on Disney Plus, you can see it in chronological order, and Hulu is just there. So according to Hulu and according to ratings, Echo is one of the top rated shows currently for Disney Plus and Hulu, which is great. But we were talking about this way off mic this morning about it. But we'll get into all that stuff a little bit later. Hunter, you want to break down all the fun like directors and stuff for Echo?
Sure, you're gonna have to give me a minute.
Oh, normally you have it going. That's why normally I have you break all that stuff down. Well, Hunter pulls that up. Definitely watch Echo before you watch this episode. We are going to be talking deep spoilers for the show, so definitely watch that. Or pause here, go watch the show, and come back.
All right, I got it.
All right, go ahead.
We're in there. So Echo is the first story in the Marvel Spotlight series. It's this new thing they're trying to do where it's a little bit more graphic. They're calling it the TVMA rating, similar to what Netflix was doing, but they're calling it Marvel Spotlight. Hawkeye, you know, it wasn't Marvel Spotlight, but Echo comes directly from that. It's a sequel to that. Cool, cool, cool. Now we're caught up. So Echo, reprised by Alakoa Cox, is the main character. She goes back home and has her cast of characters, including Chase Spencer, who plays Black Crow. He's the bowling guy.
Yes.
Not bowling. Oh, my goodness. The roller rink. We have Tantu Cardinal as Chula. That's the grandma. Charlie Cox is Daredevil. Heck yeah. Vincent D'Onofrio is Kingpin. Heck yeah. Cody Lightning, badass last name. That's Biscuits. And then we have Devry Jacobs as Bonnie, who last week when we were talking about, was it What If last week or the week before? We were talking about Devry Jacobs returning as Corey in Echo in some cameo, me not realizing that they were already in the show as Bonnie.
Yeah, no, that's what we talked about last week.
I watched the last episode and I saw the credits and I was like, I'm a fucking idiot. I was like, I should have just looked at the casting ahead of hand. I mean, it sucks that they did come back for this only because now they can't make a live action appearance. But at the same time, they can. I don't think Bonnie's going to come back in any way, shape, or form unless Echo gets another sequel series.
We'll talk about that at the end.
They did say that due to the success of this show, they might be doing something, but we'll get there once we start talking about the episodes. But yeah, so everybody came back who was reprising their roles, like I said. The first episode is the longest episode, but half of it is flashback and catch-up from Hawkeye and That Daredevil scene in the middle. That's new content, but it's still, you know, catch up. So yeah, it opens with these weird, I guess it's not weird, but you know what I mean? The Choctaw, I guess like the meteor crashes and they get powers and they lift the rock and they save everybody and then start the Choctaw people.
So all he's trying to say is that the series opens up with a lot of flashbacks. A lot of it's fluff and filler. And what ends up happening is that you, at least with episode one, you jump right into it from catching up from Hawkeye into the main meat of the story, which is her.
Yeah, it starts in 2007 when she's a kid, and then it jumps to current day stuff.
Don't worry about everything else. So, I'm not breaking down every episode. It's boring if we do that.
It's five episodes.
For sure. Yeah. Definitely watch we were talking about this in the, this morning, and the one big thing about Echo that I will say is that, honestly, Echo is not bad. Everyone giving it shit, I feel like comes down to it's one of those, like, they're giving it shit because it's a female-led
show. I haven't heard that much shit.
Well, early on, when it first dropped, that first weekend.
Oh, yeah. But that's everybody.
You know, but, like, but I'm not saying it's, like, that's the whole thing. I'm not saying it's dumb. It's okay. It's okay. To be fair, it's okay. But the reason why...
I think quality is very...
Yeah, but that's... I mean, quality... why do you say overall it's just okay? Because it is just okay. And I was telling you this morning what my feelings were, why it's just okay. You know. But... And I'll get to it later on in the when we talk about the show a little bit more. But the biggest thing about Echo as a character is that... Echo the character... You're translating from a comic book series or comic world where she's only been one, she's only really had three roles in the universe. Four roles, technically. She was Kingpin's Assassin, which you saw in Hawkeye and you saw in here. She was Ronin, which we never saw, which I hope to God one day we get.
That could have been what this series turned into.
Yeah. Honestly.
But not.
Before I get tangential, I will go off the rails with that. She was Daredevil's love interest, which we didn't get. But also, I think they made her way younger than Matt.
I wouldn't say she's way younger, but she's definitely not like... I think there's probably like a good 7 to 8 year difference in between the two characters, Daredevil and Echo in this universe.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say she's a young character, but she's old enough to, you know...
Yeah,
be a mob boss, drink, drive, you know, all that kind of shit.
You know, it's
she's not like Kate Bishop. No. She's definitely older than Kate Bishop.
No, you know what's funny? It's hard to tell because when they're live action, it's harder to tell because like, oh hey, you the actor or actress.
Oh yeah, I started watching the Ted series. Yeah, I started watching the Ted TV show, and the main character, the young version of Mark Wahlberg, is played by an actor called Max Burholder. Right. I am 3 months older than him, and he's playing a 16-year-old boy.
That's my point. Like he's
a 97 baby, and it's because you got a baby face. Look at Tom Holland. Tom Holland's playing a high schooler. He's freaking 30.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like,
I get it, but I'll try to see if I can find it.
Yeah, while he's looking that up, she just looks really young. And honestly, I think she does a stellar performance in this show. You know, I think she is. Not underutilized. I think the best parts of her character, they do great as a transition from Echo, the comic book character, Echo, the sequel series to Hawkeye, you know, works very well. I think the problem is like...
She's like 26.
Jesus Christ, told you she's young.
From the flashbacks, they've somewhat been able to math it out. They said she's either born in 99 or 2000.
God. The character all younger than I am.
So she's 26 or 24. I mean, well, in the MCU, I think we're in 2027 or something like that. So maybe she's a little bit older, but at least right now she's under 30, but over 22. So, okay. And Daredevil's definitely older than that.
Yeah. Like, God.
So that would definitely be weird.
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah, mid-80s is what they said. So he's at least 10 years older than her if he was born in 89. So, I don't know if they'd want to promote that relationship in this one, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's true. You know, it is it's one of the only other interest, only other story she has besides being the Phoenix and Jason Aaron's run of
Comic. Yeah, because Echo's not a huge character, which is why it's cool they got a TV show, but it does suck that there's not a lot of source material. It gives me very Naomi vibes.
Oh, 100%.
Where we have a whole show for us for a character that's had maybe 15 issues total. Not solo, just appeared in 15 issues. Echo's definitely been in more, don't get me wrong, but I didn't know who Echo was until 2014, I think.
And that's fair.
I knew there was a female Ronin. I didn't know who it was underneath. That's on me. But I didn't know who the character of Echo was until Charles Soule's run of Daredevil, where she shows up as an antagonist. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
No, I get it. No, dude, I get it. Like, it's I didn't meet Echo until New Avengers. That's how I met Echo. And when she was Ronin. And I was like, this is crazy. And that's how she first got introduced. And, you know, honestly, I think the ending would have been better if she became Ronin. And that was my theory from the opening of episode one. But because she doesn't, I'm like, oh, you're just going to leave it open for her to be whatever goofy like hero you're trying to make her here now, which is fine.
Yeah, like, I mean, cool that she's got different powers, but it sucks that you had Ronin right there. You even had a flashback in the episode where that shows, you know, the scene from Hawkeye where he's doing sign language with her and talking to her. And then you're just like, and we don't talk about Ronin ever again.
Yeah, and I'm like, you could have made it a bigger deal than having her just team up with, having her fight Daredevil. Honestly, I think it would have been cool to see a rematch between Ronin and her instead of Daredevil, but I get it, timeline stuff, and, you know, I get it. Trust me.
Well, yeah, Hawkeye stopped being Ronin at that point in time. He was, like, right after he killed her dad, he's like, I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
So, unfortunately, he wasn't able to. I mean, and that only happened a few months later, so it could have been a cool scene with Ronan, even if he couldn't get Jeremy Renner to come back, because while they were filming this, he might still have been recovering from his incident.
It's true.
So, I don't know, like, what the timeline was. Maybe they did try to get him, and then they were just like, fuck it, we're using Kingpin. Let's just get Daredevil in here.
Yeah, you know what?
Because the Daredevil stuff is crazy. So, with the first episode, it confirms that a few things. One, that Daredevil was alive during the blip, because this takes place mid-blip. Right. And two, he changes his costume from red to yellow in between Echo's flashback and She-Hulk.
It's true.
Yeah, and then whatever costume he's going to get, which apparently is going to be a darker red.
Whatever.
So I was like, so he's got yellow for like, what, 5 minutes? And then it switches over?
You should have been the yellow.
But they did say that they reshot everything. They scrapped the entire Daredevil show originally. They just started resuming filming today. It's going to be a shorter, today as in day of recording, yeah. 122. They did say that it's going to be a shorter season, more akin to what Netflix is doing, so probably around 13 episodes.
Okay, yeah.
And it's going to be grittier and a Marvel spotlight instead of just being a regular show. So maybe that's a good thing. Blessing in disguise, we'll see. They did confirm that Deborah Ann Worrell and forget who plays Foggy Nelson.
They're coming back.
That they are coming back for Daredevil.
Yeah, that was pretty much confirmed the day they moved the Netflix stuff into the timeline as canon.
Yeah. Oh, his name is Eldon Henson, by the way. Okay. Eldon Henson.
So the one major thing. So what this show did was they adapted two stories to fit this narrative for the show, which is Phoenix End Song Echo and Daredevil Echo, to kind of make this show a thing, because she really has no backstory until these most two recent miniseries that kind of fluff up her origin stuff, which is fine. Mm-hmm. It's just that none of her supporting characters are there. Like, and to be fair, I do like the older guy in it. Like, that's not.
Oh well, he's always great.
He was awesome, and I liked him a lot because he was like trying to sell white people like the like supposed to be like the whole like authentic Native American stuff, and he
Graham Greene is a fantastic actor. He's an
American I've seen him in other stuff too, and he was like chanting, like what he's chanting is what these white people are supposed to think. It's like, oh, that he's like chanting an actual thing, but it's like
he's like, please buy this piece
damn
of this shit.
Thing, you know, buy the damn thing, buy the damn thing. I'm like, I'm laughing as they were like he was doing it.
Yeah, it was
funny. And then you meet Biscuits, which I think is awesome.
Biscuits is the homie of the show. He's the certified homie.
You know what? He isn't...
First of all, his name is Biscuits. Let's go.
You know what's funny? So the show does portray like reservation life very well, where you have people that live on the land are distrusting of people that are not from their culture. There is kind of this feeling of being impoverished, which is very true on most reservations. But also, like, that's where you get Biscuits, who is this kind of like he's funny, but like he seems the most real character besides the grandpa. Feel like the most real characters that you could meet, like, on a res, you know. I mean, yeah, these are people that kind of live in like these smaller improvised towns, and they're doing their best to live, and it's awesome to see it, you know. The supporting cast in the show is really good. The problem is,
you got D'Onofrio back. I don't count him as a
supporting cast member.
He's supporting. I know what you mean. The people on the res are cool. My favorite side character is, I mean, besides Biscuits, the homie, it's Black Crow. I liked his, like, I don't know. I think the actor Chask, I'm sorry for mispronouncing your name, he did really, really well with what he was given. Oh, like, yeah. Not that it was bad, but I'm saying, like, he just did a good performance for, like, a sympathetic, like, I can't really help you, but also, like, fuck this guy. Like, it was good. And then the scene where they're held hostage by the white guy, that was a very cool scene for him too, where he's like, nah, fuck it, I'm in.
Yeah, you know, I was like laughing, like, watching the show. I liked the supporting characters because they were all new, you know. Mm-hmm. To my knowledge, and I said this to my knowledge, again, I have not read a lot of Echo in my life, you know, but like watching it, I like it a lot. I like the supporting characters. I think watching her backstory unfold through the eyes pretty much of these characters was really good. That being said, I think the true flashback stuff, and like, God, that they gave her powers is stupid. But
that's a later in the episode
conversation. Yeah, I'll get into my things I don't like later on.
We're still on like episode 3.
Yeah, I'm not even involved. It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. I do really think the fact is that what they did was they gave us original content, and it doesn't snub Echo, you know, it doesn't take away from the show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you could, so like Kamala in Miss Marvel, where her supporting cast was amazing, all of them, but they were all from the comics. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you had reference to all these guys. The supporting cast was fantastic in Miss Marvel. And even here, I like it. Do they lean into the family aspect a lot? Yeah. You know.
They lean into it almost too hard. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, it felt like I was watching The Fast and the Furious. I really wanted Dominic Toretto to be like, Maya, let's fuck up the kingpin.
You know what it is? I agree with you. I say this as, like, not every show.
They even have a barbecue at the end, dude. What are we talking about?
But so
this is low key Fast and the Furious.
Never show the She-Hulk, so it works. Do think that they lean in, and you're right. I do think they lean into too heavy, because what it did was, not all the shows need to feel the same. You know, you don't need to have this big family moment. You know, it doesn't need to be that way. You know, sometimes it is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know. They suck, you know, we suck, it's fine. You know, if you have a bad family, but you learn to overcome it with a chosen family, it's fine. You know, the thing with that's not the message of the show, I'm just giving an example. In the show is that she learned to rely upon her family and get back to what it was after being away from them for so long because of everything that happened with her dad and the kingpin.
Well, it's not even that. She's also... after her mom died, because they blame her dad, her dad moves to keep working with Kingpin in a closer capacity and takes Maya, and then Maya finally comes back years later. And everybody's like, I don't fucking like you.
Yeah.
You're not part of our family. And then by the end, they're like, mi familia.
I know. And I get the message, and I like it. It's a good message to have. you know.
No, it is great. It's a good message, and it's cool that Echo, you know, it just sucks that they were like, it's a villain show, and then she does like one bad thing, and otherwise she's just morally gray, but she's still a good guy. And I wouldn't say more. Excuse me. I wouldn't say morally gray. I would just say she kills people.
Yeah, but that doesn't make her morally gray. You know, like.
No, it makes her.
She's not an anti-hero either. You know what I mean? Like,
if she's an actual hero. At least to the town, she's a hero.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, the next time she shows up, nobody really knows what she did.
Yeah.
Only the Kingpin will be like, no, she's not with me anymore. Like, if she shows up in Daredevil Born Again, she's going to have to do some splaining.
Yeah. She has to.
So it'll be exciting to see what she ends up doing, because Daredevil and her will have a rematch for sure if she shows up in Born Again.
Oh, yeah,
and then one of them will win, and then they'll be like, actually, or they'll have a tie, and then it'll be, oh, actually, wait, I'm a good guy. Help fight the Kingpin. Trust me, please. Yeah. And then he'll be like, I can read your heartbeat. You're telling the truth.
Yeah.
Or whatever he does, because he's Daredevil. And then they fight the Kingpin and whoever else joins
yeah.
him. Presumably Punisher.
You know, I do like it a lot. One of the big things that I do also like about the show is that the choreography is fantastic.
Oh, all the fight choreo.
All fight choreo is...
Like, a lot of people are pointing out that Daredevil scene. Nah, dude, the whole show's got
good fight choreo. The whole scene. Every scene, every fight scene has been great choreography. You know, it's not... Because it is a street-level thing, it's not bogged down by things like CG, and everything's practical effects pretty much for it.
Oh, yeah, they have a few CG shots, yeah. like the explosions, but, you know.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
Don't want to blow up an actual train, exactly. right?
You know, but I mean, like, for the point, it is just, like, really good choreo for it. And it works very well. I think the problem is, I think people are just, like, again, just like what happened in She-Hulk. I think the idea of fixating on Hawkeye, not Hawkeye, on Daredevil, was just people like, oh, well, it's Daredevil. So I'm like, yeah, I get it. Cool. But like you said, the show's not bad. It's not like a dumpster fire. It's not the worst thing Marvel's produced, you know?
No, and by far, it's not the worst thing. Besides Guardians, I'd say it's better than most things that came out last year.
Honestly?
Not that I hated on most of those. I just know that this is better, if that makes sense. I mean, we've said it off mic, and we'll get into it in a few minutes, but there is definitely some fluff that could be cut. And I know the message, yeah, but, like, there's just some stuff that it's like, what are you doing? And some of the editing choices, but that's just me. I'm not a professional, so I could easily be, like, super wrong, but that's just my opinion when I watch it.
Cool.
But besides, like, some of the fluff, this is a good show. It could have been a good movie. I like that it was all dropped at once because, honestly, not that these episodes were bad, but I feel like people wouldn't talk about it if all the episodes didn't drop at once because you're watching 30 minutes of a 5-episode show about a character that was from Hawkeye of all shows. Not saying that people didn't watch that one, but, you know, it's Hawkeye.
Also, it's a character that no one knows. And then I was saying this to me.
Yeah, before. Not a huge comic book character. You know, it was only in one project before this. It's not like WandaVision, where Wanda shows up in like 3 or 4 movies and then gets her own show. Same with Loki, where he shows up in a few. Echoes was in one show. She wasn't even the main character,
yeah.
nor was she the main bad guy, really. Right. And, you know, and then she gets her own spinoff show, which is good, but, you know, it's short. It's got the filler and it gives her superpowers, which are totally unnecessary. But, you know.
No, and that's what it is.
If you're getting to where she is in the comic books, it makes sense.
Yes, you know, and that's the thing.
If you're fast tracking to the comics, sure.
That's the whole thing. Like the kind of like the biggest problem that you run into, and this is kind of the problem the MCU had recently, is that this is not comic books. You can't have a million options to give people because what's going to end up happening is people just like anything. You know, not everyone that reads Spider-Man reads Thor, that reads Avengers, reads X-Men, reads Iron Man. Mm-hmm. You know, you just don't have the time, unless you're strictly just a Marvel person, you know. But even then, you just get to be more selective and choosy, not because things are bad. It just may not be your flavor. It may not be your thing. You may try it one episode. You're like, yeah, you know what? I don't like it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what happens when you give people more options, you know.
I would say give Echo 2 episodes before you give up on it. Not that episode 1 is bad, but episode 1 has the first 20 minutes of, like, catch up.
Yeah.
And then it starts. I'd say watch the first 2 episodes, and if you really don't like it, don't watch it. But I think it finishes pretty strong.
It does. And that's the whole.
Dude, when the old when grandma starts throwing dudes around, even though it was like annoying because powers, I was like, this is funny. Like the old lady's chucking these dudes and punching them across the tents because she's got these superpowers now because of the whatever gift she has. Like, that's cool. I like that idea.
You know, it's
at least with like, because it did have good comedy moments.
Yes.
This one doesn't feel shoehorned like some of the other comedies, right, or at least the one-liners that they try to throw into these movies.
Yes. The comedy feels authentic only because like the characters feel authentic. And that's like, that's not what people are talking about. No one's talking about like, oh, the characters are actually really good on this show. You know, you just may not like, this may not be your thing just because it's not your thing. It happens, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's okay. I think it's okay. You know, it just may not be certain people's cup of tea. It just is, you know, and that's what happens when you give us more options. You know, the more you continue to give us options to watch from, the more we get to be choosy instead of going, hey, we're definitely only getting one movie a year, you know, or one movie every other year, you know. This, now we're getting movies and TV shows and tie in other things, and now get to be more selective. Do I think there's a problem with them dropping all at once? Absolutely. And I think that's also what spurred everyone talking about, because you dropped it in 5 episodes all in one day. You know, there is a FOMO about missing out on this stuff, especially content we've been bred and groomed to be like, yeah, we have to watch, you know. That's kind of the generation we live in, especially when it comes to content, especially content that is from Marvel. You know, it's not like it's going, hey, this is just a random Netflix show that there's no buzz about. There was already buzz about Echo. Lots of negative buzz about Echo, but there was buzz about Echo going into it because people didn't really have faith in the show. And people were like, oh, well, they don't have faith in it. They're dropping it all at once, which I get. You know, as a business, I definitely understand it, because you would just watch, if they did this weekly, it would have been bad. It would have been awful to watch weekly. Mm-hmm. You know, I say this as watch, because I watched it, like, I watched the first 3 episodes in one day, and I finished it up over 2 days. I think it would have felt a lot slower, and a show like this can't feel slow. You can't let it feel slow, because there is a lot of fluff and filler in the show. And that's a problem. So you need it to be like continuously exciting. Those scenes aren't bad. They just are completely unnecessary. You know, we were talking about the lacrosse scene.
Oh yeah. I understand the message they're putting across, where it's like, you got to figure out how to, like, you know, figure out the strategy. You got to do what you can for your family, for your team, for your tribe. I understand that, but did we need it? You could have just told us. That seems like a tell, don't show kind of thing, at least in my opinion. Oh, but for the, I don't know, I'm a white guy. Maybe for the community, it was awesome to see stickball, but I mean, I don't know.
And that's what it is. Also, they didn't realize.
They do another one. They do in the 1800s. They do like a cowboy one with the light horseman. Like, that's cool, but I don't need that.
And that's what. And that's what I think, and this is just a retrospect on all the MCU TV shows that have come out. Some of them just should have been like almost either make Marvel Spotlight. Well, now you can't. Well,
Armor Wars was like that. Armor Wars was supposed to be a TV show, and then they were like, nah, it's a movie now. They could have done that with Echo. I mean, if you really think about it, like, each episode is like about 30 minutes because of how Disney Plus does their oh geez, does there? You know what I mean. They do that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. How they lay out is.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, how they do their
episode.
So, you know, well, because there's 5 minutes of credits, there's an opening, and then there's an intro. So it's like, if you cut most of this stuff down, at least like the nonsense bits, you could easily make it like a 2.5-hour movie. And then if you chop out some of the what I think is filler, you'd probably get a nice like tight like 90 minutes.
And then you could
have put that out.
And I think that would have
been, you could have even released it in theaters.
Yeah. Honestly, no. You know what it is? I wish they would do just like, besides, I know they call it a special presentation, you know, but making it as like, because back in the day, Disney Channel would make Disney Channel would make Disney Channel original movies, which would be movies that are.
Oh, they still do some original movies every once in a while. They only probably do like two or three a year instead of like one a month, like I feel like they used to. But
I mean, yeah, they made a lot when I was growing up. But doing that, I think would have been a better move. Because so doing a Disney Channel original movie, it would be it would be a full regular feature length movie, which they never ran over an hour and a half, but with a lower budget, made for TV. You know, you could have done that with Echo. You could have done that with Moon Knight. You could have done that with She-Hulk, you know, and made them tight 90 minutes, less fluff, more. You can lower the budget. For this one, the budget was fine for this one. And make it where it's like super tight, a concise story, and makes you excited. Yeah. Or am I going to get the full 5 hour, you know, experience? Because I'm binge watching it in one day? No. Does that look great for numbers? No. As a business, it doesn't look good as numbers because you're not having as many people watch it all in one sitting. But honestly, if you made it tight with a strict 90-minute, you know, time hit, honestly, I think it would have been better. You know, I don't need the flashbacks. Each of those flashbacks were like anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes long. For a 35-minute to 45-minute episode, that's bad.
Oh, it's like that one episode of Ms. Marvel where it takes place like it's a 40-minute episode, but the first 25 minutes are like her traveling back in time to save her grandma as a child for reasons.
Yes.
Like there's a whole bit before she shows up that we didn't need, in my opinion.
It's true.
Like she shows up like halfway through the story of her great grandmother or whoever it was supposed to be, I forget. So it's like, all right, why can't we just, like, we're following Kamala Khan, you know, like, I don't care about her grandma until she shows up. Like, if she showed up and interacted with her great-grandma the whole time and didn't realize until the baby showed up, then that would have been cool. And then it's like, oh, I'll help you, you know, get to your dad during the little, I follow the light. Like, instead, it's like, nah, here's this whole, like, crazy story, and then she shows up with the trains.
Right. You know, and I think
that could have saved you an episode.
Right. And I think the same thing happens here in Echo where, again, the message is great. I get you're showing off history of marginalized people. Good. Do that. But understand, like, there should be a point where it is unnecessary. You don't have to do it just to prove a point or fluff a show. You know, you could make it, like I said, tight 90 minutes, very action focused. Nothing's wrong with making it action focused. It doesn't demarginalize.
They could have made this like a John Wick movie.
Yes. There's nothing wrong with having it as an action centerpiece and having a female led minority. There's nothing wrong with that. I think leaning into her minority aspects just to fluff up parts of the show takes away from her character because she's more than just Native American. She's also deaf and mute and a badass woman. Like, those all make up her character. You know, it's not just one piece of it. You know, so I do think this is corporate anything, and they, of course, will do this. But I do think they should reinvent the idea of Marvel Presents, where these concepts should be kind of just like smaller budgets movies for characters that we can get to know without going. You know what a big turnoff for some of these shows are is, like, if you don't like the character, it's 5 hours. I mean, it's really not, but
yeah,
for me and you, we really watch it because we do a podcast for it, you know. But there are plenty of people that are like, oh yeah, I'm gonna watch it, and go, well, it's 5 hours, I'm not gonna watch it. Or it's 8 episodes, I don't want to watch
it. I mean, I watched it for my boy Vincent D'Onofrio. Well, gotta support my kingpin,
you know. But
I also watched it because Echo was cool in Hawkeye.
Yeah, but honestly, a lot of people, like, the biggest misgiving is that people aren't gonna sit down and watch the show just because it's 5 hours. You know, they're like, I don't have enough time for me to care for a show for a character that I don't know about. And even, and we were talking about
this. Yeah, like, yeah, we learned a little bit about them in Hawkeye, but let's say they don't show up again until Daredevil and it's one episode. It's like, you can just have it, oh, she was in Hawkeye and then she was in Daredevil. Like, Like, you can just easily jump the gun. You shouldn't, but you can.
Yeah.
You know, like, this show, at least right this second, it doesn't feel as important. And I understand that when these shows release, they don't always seem important until they are. And that's just how the Universal writing goes. But not that it doesn't seem unimportant to the characters that are in it. It's just unimportant to the universe right now. But if you're setting this up as the first new wave of street-level Marvel spotlights, I'll take the pass until we get a sequel to something, like until we get another Marvel spotlight, whether it's Born Again, Echo Season 2, Punisher, Daredevil and Echo, whatever they choose to do next, which is probably Daredevil, I will be, you know, I'll be tuning in.
Yeah, and again, there's like...
Because they did say with the success of this, Echo is going to be in more stuff.
Yeah, and again, I think that does have to do with the fact that they did drop it all at once. That success only comes from it dropping all at once. If it didn't, I think there would be massive drop-off and people would have gotten bored with it, you know?
Yeah, we were talking about the water cooler talk. Yeah. Like, the reason why people watched every episode is because Monday, Dave is going to want to fucking talk to you about it.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, I can't say that I didn't watch it because I want to watch it. And, like, that's what happens. You know, you have to watch it.
Yeah, and I don't want spoilers. So, like, you know, when you're watching it week to week, sure. But I definitely would think that this might be a little boring week to week.
Yeah, I agree with you. I always agree with you. You know, there is, like, this fear and this, like, of missing out. There is this FOMO, especially when it comes to, like, this stuff specifically. But that being said, I do think they did a great job. I do think Echo's not bad. Echo's a pretty good show. I also do think you should have just made it a movie.
For sure. I'm in that ball game.
You know, I do think if you're going to do... please, I do not want a season two. Make it... If you do season two, you make it... Either bring in more characters that we know from the comics. You know, whether it's her versus Ronin, her versus Daredevil.
I was upset that Turk Barrett didn't make an appearance in this.
No.
He was in every... He was in... I mean, not every episode. He was in a few episodes of every Netflix show. He was the guy that everybody bought guns or needed information from because he was the connection down in Hell's Kitchen. He was the cord, yeah, as they say, I think. I don't know what the young people say, but he was the hookup in the Hell's Kitchen stuff. So it sucks that when she was looking for weapons, she didn't call up our boy Turk.
That may just been scheduling. You
know, I get it. He might be, he's also hasn't been confirmed to be coming back yet for any of the shows. Like, for Born Again, they have a few returning cast members, but not him yet. And I'm like... Bring him back. Come on. He'll just be a cool, fun one to see. Or he shows up in the new Spider-Man movie. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it's fine. You know.
Yeah. We'll see what goes on. But you want to talk about that mid-credit scene?
It's just stuff we kind of knew was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to be that specifically. No,
dude. I loved it. Like, I knew it was going to happen, but, like, it felt like the end of Boys season 3.
Yes.
Where Homelander's sitting there and he's like, wait, they don't care what I do. You can see on Wilson Fisk's face when they're hearing them talk, we need like a bare knuckles brawler, somebody that doesn't care to get his hands dirty. And you can just see him, the light bulb appear over his head where he's like, I'm going to run for fucking mayor.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
It's cool.
Mayor Fisk is going to be huge.
And that's how you make it like... That's how you make it matter, by having them all connect, and that being the back through line.
Dude, I'm excited for Daredevil Born Again and whatever shows spin out of this, like maybe a Heroes for Hire show where we get like Mayor Kingpin and then he loses and then we get Mayor Luke Cage.
That'd be dope.
That could be sick.
Yeah.
You could even loosely adapt some Devil's Reign stuff just because we're not going to get the whole Devil's Reign. Yeah. But if you want to do like the setup for Mayor Luke, you do a little bit of the Devil's Reign stuff. And dude, that'll be super cool.
That'd be dope. It'd be real dope.
Because then you can do the 8-episode Heroes for Hire right beforehand or right afterwards. So we'll see. I definitely want more Marvel spotlights. I want just more from those Netflix characters. I'm glad that they're canon again, at least for right now. You know, they could easily be like, just kidding, Iron Fist.
Yeah, well, some of them will be canon, some of them won't be. We'll kind of see.
Yeah, well, Finn Jones said that he does want to come back and do more, but he said the script has to be good. And I'm like, Marvel has to invite you back, buddy.
Yeah, it's not.
But a lot of people are saying that Jessica Henwick, should come back is Colleen Wing, because at the end of season two of Iron Fist, she's Iron Fist.
Yeah.
So why not just bring her back? You could even do Daughters of the Dragon as a mini series, or a movie, or an arc in Heroes for Hire, or just do Heroes for Hire and it's Luke, a retired Danny Rand who doesn't do much, if you want to do that. Colleen Wing and Misty Knight, or maybe drop Danny Rand, do Jessica Jones, and then have them look for Danny Rand. That could be the story arc. They're like, where's Danny now? And, oh, he died in a particle accelerator explosion or whatever.
We'll find out. Again, you know, even if they don't recast him.
I'm not unopposed to Finn Jones coming back. I didn't hate his casting. I just know that he did not really care to put in the work.
Yeah.
Well, but who's to say that wasn't Marvel just not giving him enough time? I don't know. I'll talk to Finn Jones maybe once in my life and we'll find out. On the off chance I ever meet him, I'll ask him.
I mean, yeah, of course. Let's call him up real quick.
Yeah, I'll call him up. I'll call him up. We'll see. We'll see.
So, again, like always, a scale of 1 to 5, what do you give the show?
What did I do on Letterboxd? I think I did 3.5. Let me double check. So, a 7 out of 10. Double checking. Yes, I gave Echo a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
3.5 out of 5. I feel like it wasn't long enough for what we were given, but they could have cut the filler and made it shorter. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to have the fluff, give me a bigger story, even by one episode. I feel like some of the subplots that you gave us for no reason, in quotes, no reason, didn't fully wrap up.
And yeah, you're right. And they don't, you know, I agree.
So if you did one episode to wrap up the rest and like tie it all in a nice little bow, then sure. But obviously me and you were saying that we wanted less content, make it like a tight movie. But, you know, since you did give us the 5 episodes, I really wish we had one more that just tied up any loose ends we had with some of the side characters. Not that there were a lot, but you could have expanded upon a few things dialogue-wise that could have paid off a little bit later or had an extra character pop up due to scheduling, blah, 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 if you had an extra episode. But, you know, you can't really knock an episode for not having that much, you know, not having extra content. But some of the filler, in our words, scenes, I just didn't. I don't know. They didn't connect with me. And I know it's because I'm a white guy, but your audience is mostly white guys.
Well, even outside,
you gotta really,
even outside,
you know,
even outside of you being a white guy, it doesn't matter because I'm Hispanic and black and it still didn't connect to me. Like you shouldn't make shows specifically garnered towards an audience that you need to rely on. Because what's going to happen is people aren't going to like it, you know, especially when they don't know what's going on. That being said, those scenes aren't bad. I just think, and I again, my rating.
No, a lot of them are very well shot. I do like the 1800s one, yes. The black and white one. I believe the character's name was Tuklo. I'm definitely pronouncing that wrong. Tuklo. They're practicing shooting for the Light Horseman. That scene was cool. I like the black and white idea. Like, it's like an old-timey film, and it was a silent film, too. I thought that was really cool. But I find it unnecessary for Echo's story, because we already know she's capable. If you watched Hawkeye, she kicks ass.
Yeah.
Like, why are you reteaching us that she can kick ass? She shot Wilson Fisk in the face. Maybe one character in the MCU has been able to harm Wilson Fisk, and it was Daredevil. And you're telling me, oh, and Kate Bishop, but we don't talk about
that.
Yeah. That was an interesting Juggernaut-style scene. But besides Kate Bishop and Echo, not a lot of people have fucked up Kingpin.
No.
So having Echo shoot him in the face, like, no remorse. Like, we know she's badass. We know she knows when to use strategy and when to, like, you know, use restraint. And, you know, she's good at aiming guns. But, you know, whatever. I guess we'll see it again, but in black and white.
I mean, yeah.
At least that one felt the most. I mean, the stickball lacrosse stuff was unnecessary for strategy. But this one was more unnecessary because it was teaching her patience, the warrior braids, and shooting. And I was like, we know this.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. Again, I really do think the show does, like, again, so I'm giving it a 3 out of 5. I do think the show does, the stuff that makes it, bring it down to a 3 is a lot of the fluff and filler where I'm like, I don't need it. You don't need this lesson. It really has nothing to do with the story to further it, really, unless you're going to be like, the flashback is going to reveal something like, I don't know, Kingpin's like ancestors like were dealing with her ancestors back in the day type of thing. Like, or something stupid. Or tied to something else. Or if it tied to the What If episode with Quixote, you know, that would have been awesome. You know, but you didn't. And it went nowhere. You know, so it's like having her learn lessons, showing us lessons from the past that's to reflect what she's going to learn in the episode is a cool framing device and works as a non-MCU show. But because this is an MCU show, you don't have to give me all this stuff. Just show my character. Just show me the character learning it in the present day. You know, and if you really do flashbacks, make the flashbacks matter. You know, it's an okay show. I love the acting in it. The choreography is cool. It's a villain story. It's BS. I hate her costume at the end.
Yeah, I liked, like, the costume she had was just, like, motorcycle bike and pants that let you kick really good. So, like, that's, you know, she definitely needed something. But the costume she got, it's too armor heavy. Like, not armor, but, like, padding. Like, Daredevil's suit is, it's still the one thing that, while it looks awesome, it's still one of the things that I don't like about the Netflix show is his suit is so, like, you don't want to get shot by bullets. I get it. You don't want to get shot by bullets. You need armor. You need padding. But it's too bulky for somebody who runs around and does flips.
It's very comic booky, and it doesn't work well. You translate it into reality.
Yeah, like the Echo costume in the comic books, at least the main costume besides the Ronin one, is like a black latex thing with like a Native American symbol on it. She has a handprint on her face, kind of like Echo from Star Wars. And then she's got like a sash, I think, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And she doesn't have one foot. Like she has both feet in the comics, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's whatever. You could, you know, that works in any costume. But I don't know, I just feel like it's too bulky. I get what they're going for, and I do like the idea, but not for Echo.
No.
Like it came off as more of like a Warpath or Proudstar or Thunderbird or whatever you want to call them. It felt like more of that costume.
Yes, it does. It does.
Add big knives.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah, it's not a bad costume. It's just I feel like it didn't fit for Echo's character in the MCU and even in the comic books. If you gave that to her in the comic books, you'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, it wouldn't look right.
She's got to do flips. Yeah. Like I said, it is cool, but definitely doesn't match the tone, at least.
No.
Why give her a superhero costume if she's not a superhero? You know what I mean?
No.
She has powers, but that doesn't make her a superhero.
It's true.
Yeah, but we'll see. I just think that now if she starts fighting any of these people, besides Jessica Jones and potentially Luke Cage, because Iron Fist, while they can punch really good, they still, you know, you can shoot them. But with her powers, you know, she's going to be almost unstoppable.
Yeah.
She can heal and she can grant other people strength and she has strength of her own.
I know.
And probably enhanced reflexes because everybody has
those powers.
So, I mean, it would be a cool fight scene if her and Daredevil power up and then beat the shit out of Kingpin. That would be cool. Or maybe not Kingpin because, you know, you don't want Echo and Daredevil to fight Kingpin if it's a Daredevil show. You can have them fight Bullseye because he's rumored to be coming back.
Yeah.
And Echo and Daredevil could fight Bullseye together and be powered up. That could be cool.
Should be good.
But we'll see. Maybe she can't grant the powers unless they have Chaffa's DNA in them.
Yeah, they'll find a loophole. Because immunity.
They'll find some loophole if it's cool.
I don't want her to become Gaia, where it's like, we gave her powers and now we don't know what to do with her because she's too powerful. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, here, we made a character up and we gave too much. Like, now what do you do? Uh-oh. So, yeah. No, I'm excited to see what she knows.
I am excited for Echo to pop up in, like, the Avengers movies. Yeah. Because, you know, for a fact, if she pops up and she sees Makari, they're going to have some words.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah, that'll be very cool to see. But honestly, it'll feel like one of those tacked-on moments, like in Endgame, where they have the A-Force,
one-shot. Yeah.
Yeah, like, while it was cool and, you know, there are a lot of female characters and they do badass stuff in that, it was an unnecessary shot just to look cool. I think we'll get an unnecessary scene for representation and that's cool and it'll be funny for, like, you know, they're talking to each other and somebody's like, what the fuck? Like, what are they saying?
Yeah.
Like Spider-Man could say it, be like, I don't know what they're talking about. But, you know, it would be cool to see them interact, but it would also be very shoehorned.
Of course.
But we'll see how it naturally flows. Those two characters shouldn't interact, which is why I say it's probably going to be shoehorned.
Oh, yeah. But they're going to do it because they're going to do it.
There's no reason for Makari and Echo to hang out except during an Avengers crossover mega movie or because they're both dead.
Yeah. And we know why.
We'll get one of those two.
And we know why.
But, I mean, I'm glad the show wasn't super heavy on cameos. Like, it had the reused footage of Clint Barton.
Which is fine.
That technically counts. And then it had Daredevil for one episode and Wilson Fisk for a few.
And
like, I'm okay that they didn't have a lot of crossover cameo stuff, but I just wish there was, like, one more in there.
Nah. I think, you know,
I couldn't tell you who, but I feel like it'd be a fun cohesion if they had somebody. I'm not saying like Turk because that was like loosely canon until now. I'm not saying any of the other defenders. I'm saying like maybe Kate Bishop shows up real quick or Hawkeye in a not flashback or just something extra. Like, oh, Jen Walters shows up.
You know what? I think the better.
Like just Jen Walters.
Yeah. You know what? I think they hit the sweet spot where these I don't count the Hawkeye as a.
They don't need cameos, but it would be fun if there was. It just feels like it's not as in the world as it could be.
It does, but.
And that's what I feel like all the shows
like. I don't want them all
but
to
that,
be
I mean, cameo Fisk porn. Does carry that idea.
You know, that's what it is. Fisk carries.
Oh, no, I know. Cameo porn is definitely fucking annoying, but Fisk does carry the idea that they are both, you know, that it's tied into the universe. But because Fisk hasn't really popped up in anything besides Hawkeye that was canon before the Netflix stuff. Was canon. It does feel a little disjointed, but you know, at least it's a sequel to something. So we can say that Echo being in Hawkeye finally pays off because they have Echo.
No, it is.
Because a lot of what we were talking about was not a lot of payoff.
This is a payoff to Hawkeye, and technically Daredevil.
Very cool.
So we will jump into our books of the week again. Go check out Echo. It's on Disney Plus. All 5 episodes are there. Definitely go check it out. Especially before Daredevil comes out.
It's also on Hulu until April 9th.
Yes. But we'll just watch on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So we have our books of the week. Starting off, we have Ghost Machine number 1, written by a bunch of people, mostly Geoff Johns, and produced by Image Comics, drawn by a bunch of people. The book is an introduction to the sub-imprint of Ghost Machine within the Image Comics publishing line. Ghost Machine has... will have three different worlds under its banner. The Unnamed, which features Geiger, Junkyard Joe, Redcoat, which you get to see more about him in this issue, American Widow X, and The First Ghost. That one will be written by Brad Meltzer later on. There is the Family Odysseys, which includes the Rockefellers, which is a family that is from the 21st century. They time travel backwards in time, part of the Time Protection Agency. It's a witness protection with time travel. They are kind of like living in our time in witness protection. You have Halo and Hornsby, which is kind of like a Saturday morning, like cartoonish style story, in which an angel and a demon have, as part of a peace treaty, have had their memories erased and swapped places with their families. So the angels being raised by demons and the demons being raised by angels, and they are in the bodies of children. Then you have happen on Hyde Street, which is not much to go on, even from the preview book. It seems like it's a horror anthology style book. So, those are the books that are happening. Oh, and Rook Exodus, which is its own one, written by Geoff Johns, all by just Fabok, which is also its own universe. It's really awesome. I love it. The entire universe is really great. Like I said, if you've been reading Geiger or Junkyard Joe, it just continues on from there. If you want to try a bunch of the other stuff coming out, it's awesome. It's a one-shot. It's like a triple-size one-shot, but for $4.99, you can't beat the price. It's awesome. Next up, we have Darkwing Duck, Justice Ducks, from Dynamite Comics, written by Roger Langridge and art by Carlo Lorio. Spins out of the Darkwing Duck Dynamite series. Do not worry. You don't have to read that to read this, but it's cool if you do. It's a fun kid, all ages book, in which they have decided to team up, like, kind of like the Justice League. It's spinning out of, I think, the last two, three issues of the series was kind of like the setup, in which they have, it's like teamed up. It's cool. It's, again, it's cool kids, all ages, adventure book. It's fun. Nothing much outside of that. If you like Darkwing Duck, if you like the old Disney cartoons, pick it up. You have Resurrection of Magneto, written by Al Ewing, off by Luciano Vecchia, our boy. Which is
our person. Our,
yes. This is Storm's motivation to bring back Magneto. Now that the fall of House of X has begun, they need a new powerhouse to help them. The problem is, the Storm and Magneto gave up their resurrection protocols when they became part of the Inner Circle, the Inner Ring, which is Arako's, like, ruling body. Now that Krakoa is gone, they want to be able to bring back Magneto just to make sure he's there and to help them fight Orcus, because he's a savage. But who knows, because he might come back wrong. Maybe, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Like, he probably is coming back wrong. We had a little bit of teaser in Scarlet Witch. It ended up not being him, but it was Joseph. It ended up being Joseph. But everything leans towards the fact that his resurrection's going to be messed up. Like, it's not going to be good for anybody, including himself. It's fun, and of course, it's Al Ewing, who's been, if you read Sword and then X-Men Red, you read this next, pretty much, in his trilogy, his like, Storm Magneto story. Next up, we have Star Wars Thrawn Alliances, written by Timothy Zahn and Jody Hauser, up by Andrea DeVito and Pat Oliva. Timothy Zahn, by the way, wrote the original novels, which is great to have him on the actual book for Thrawn Alliances. It's an adaptation of the books, which I didn't know, actually, originally when I was reading this stuff. So if you read the books, it's Thrawn, the Rise of Thrawn. It's more about the Rise of Thrawn. It pretty much fills in the gaps of the stuff that happened in well before what we saw in Ahsoka, and kind of gets you more. Sorry, Garden. Backup story about the character of who Thrawn is. Big thing, if you read the novels and you just want a better, easier grab to read instead of the big, thick book to read, they've done this before. They did it with what novel did they translate to? The other Thrawn novel. The first Thrawn book was
first one.
Adapted. So yeah, check it out. If you want more Thrawn stuff, it's great. And we have one more. Oh, we have Quested Season 2, number 1. Quested is what happens when you hire. So what happens when a princess has been kidnapped by, like, a monster or, like, from a separate kingdom? What happens is the guys in Quested, it's all a scam. What they do is they pretend to be the princess. They have, like, their inside girl pretend to be the princess. She gets kidnapped, and the crew shows up to save her, and they get paid by the king. They are a lot of it's plays on like old school video games, like Legend of Zelda and everything. It's a fun comedy book because they're all kind of like savages, but it's really funny. It's over the top, violent. If you like I Hate Fairyland, you'll like this a lot. There is kind of a thing, like, if you didn't read Quested Season 1, you should. Because there is kind of stuff that will be lost on you if you didn't. But, I mean, honestly, if you don't and you jump into this, like, kind of cold, it's still, if you like, funny comedies, you'll like this a lot. Actually, it reminds me of you a lot, reading that book. I was like, oh, no, that's a Hunter book.
I think it's who does it? Stark.
Yeah. From I didn't even tell you who did it. Of course, the season two is produced by Massive Publishing. It is done by, hold on, give me one second, let me pull that up again. I closed it real quick. Michael Calero. Calero.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was Starks. They have very similar art styles, but no, I've definitely seen this book. I just haven't gotten around to checking out season two yet because, you know, it's not Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, yes. It's good. If you like dark comedies, you'll like this. Not dark comedies. If you like comedies, it's actually really great.
Very strong I Hate Fairyland vibes for sure. I agree.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
I know you said that like 5 minutes ago, but still.
No, I know. Because it's true, though. That's what happens. You know, it really is. It really is like very much that. It's cool. So I definitely pick that up. If you do have a chance, go get the season one in trade. It should be out by now. It is actually out by now. So pick up the trade of season one and then grab season two. And guys, that is it. Thanks for listening. You can head over to our website, andrewscomics.com. Check out this week's previews and new releases. Follow us on Instagram at andrews_comics, the podcast Instagram, Andrew's Amazing Podcast, and on X at Andrew's Amazing for up-to-date news, stuff we talk about, stuff we promote, all the fun things over there. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, as always, share with a friend, and guys, support your local comic shop, and have a nice day. Hopefully, next week, we'll be covering more. Oh, we might be doing awards, actually, next week. So, yeah, stay tuned for that.
Peace.